Good morning, welcome. Our song inserts this morning. Does anybody need to have a bulletin?
I need one. All right. I'll give it to you. My hands are clean.
All right, well, let's turn in our handout to hymn number 291, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. 291, let's stand as we sing. We can come out this morning and worship you. Lord, I just pray that our worship would be honoring most of all to thee. Lord, we thank you for the salvation that we can have through your Son, Jesus. And Lord, I just pray that if there's anyone here today that doesn't know thee as thy Savior, that they might today might be the day that they would come to know thee. Lord, I ask that you would be with the pastor as he brings forth your message. Just ask that you would lay upon our hearts what you have here for us today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated.
Well, it's good to see you here today. I want to welcome you to Morrow Bible Church, and a special blessing to have some folks that we haven't seen in a while here. I think I recognize everybody, but it's good to see some of our people out here again. And also, we have the Margraffs here visiting, Grant and Navy and their family. And so, it's a blessing to have you folks here with us, too. This is certainly a different time for us. And we've had to kind of figure out what we need to do as a church here in the midst of this coronavirus pandemic. And so, we've tried to do some things, and it's just a balance between, you know, what we actually need to do and what doesn't really need to be done. So I think everybody's kind of in that mode right now. And so we'll hopefully be able to get back to some sort of normal status soon, I hope. But this is where we are right now. Appreciate those of you that have served in various ways. We still are cleaning, and that's become a major ministry, and so I appreciate that. This past week, I think the Gossmans did one part of the church, and I know Debbie and Chris were doing the other part, and so appreciate those that are cleaning. That is, we're still doing that volunteer once a week, so if you're able to do that, just encourage you to take a look at the sign-up sheet. And then just appreciate Debbie Lewis, who was able to get some bombs for the church. These are a good kind of bombs. We have some sanitizing bombs where we can sanitize a large area with just one little bottle. And so we can do that between services type of thing. And those are hard to get. She was able to get them through Highland and the supplier that they have. And so we appreciate that. Also, Scott, back here, he was able to get a new CD duplicator for the church. And one we had was old and didn't work right. But we have a larger one now. We can do more at one time. And we've been sending those out to folks that don't have access to the internet in our church. And just so they're able to hear the services that we're recording. And so appreciate Scott and his doing that. And also mentioned Brenda Scheiderer. She's going to be working on the flowers here at the church, putting those in for the summer. And so we appreciate that. Brenda and Keith are they're in the category. They're waiting a little bit, I think, until things are a little more clear to come out. And we have several people that are like that. And so we understand that. But we appreciate their service. I know Keith has done a lot with mowing here lately, and appreciate what he's done too. You may have heard about the camps this summer, but the youth camps at Penile Bible Camp had to be canceled due to the state. The state has closed residential camps. They've opened other type of camps, campgrounds, things like that. But the camp there at Penile is a residential camp where people actually stay, cabins together. And the state has said those can't open right now. And we don't know when they would reopen. There's no date on that. And so the camp committee had basically came to this time and said, you know, we've got to know now to be able to plan to have the camps in July. And it's just not enough time to get ready. So we had to cancel those, which is sad. So there may be some other events that are planned there, depending on if they do open up the resident camp limit there. But that's what had to be done with the camps this summer. I want to just give you a reminder about the birthdays, since we're not having Sunday school right now, but today is Brenda Scheiderer's birthday, so you want to wish her happy birthday. And then tomorrow, I believe it's Cassidy Smith's birthday. So if you see Cassidy or talk to her, tomorrow's her birthday. And then Mrs. Gossman's and Rhonda Lanham's birthday, both on June 3rd. Is that correct? So that's coming up this week. So we want to wish happy birthday to them. And Jake Ray this week as well. Is that correct? The 4th. Yes, all right. So we have some June birthdays coming up. So wish happy birthday to those folks. Any other birthdays that maybe this coming week or last week that we missed? That's right. Mrs. Margraff was yesterday, as well as her sister. They have the same birthday, but different years. So happy birthday to Becky and Barb. All right. Any prayer requests that you'd like to mention this morning? Anything you'd like to mention in prayer? Just any prayer requests, updates? Yes, Grant.
Say a word of prayer for the rest of
the... All right. Remember our country and just the rioting that's going on. A lot of cities, but also Columbus. It's going on there. So... want to remember our country. Yes. Okay. A classmate of Rob's. What was her name?
Beth Hunter Lyon. She was class one.
Okay. All right. So pray for this family, this lady that passed away. All right. Anybody else? Yes, Mrs. Gossman. Okay, Rebecca Henning, this is wife to Jonathan Henning, pastor's cousin, had a tumor in her lung. They don't think it's cancer, but she's having surgery coming up to take care of that. All right, anyone else? Any other prayer requests you want to mention? Yes, Mrs. Ray. All right, continue to pray for Julie's dad. He's on hospice now and just is not doing, seems to be declining. So pray for him. Yes, Bob.
For my niece, Mary Ann, she was diagnosed with cancer, and I called her the other day, and she was telling me that she just got done doing her chemo, her last treatment for that, and she had to go through another radiation treatment this week that they finished that up for the lungs, but now she's starting to go through a radiation program for her brain. Because they said that this cancer, the first thing it wants to hit is to go up to the brain. And so pray for her that she's going to go to another round of radiation in the brain.
Okay, Bob's niece, Mary Ann, with cancer treatments. All right. Okay, anybody else? All right. Well, we'll have another hymn.
Please turn in your bulletin insert to hymn number 217, Jesus, Thy Blood and Righteousness.
On a memory verse as a church the last several weeks, and I think this will be our last week on this one, and next week we'll change to a different one, but we are going to work on some that have to do with the promises of God in the scripture, and this is one of them, Lamentations 3, 21 to 23. It's on the back of your bulletin if you want to read it there, or maybe you already have it memorized and you're ready to say it from memory, but we're going to say this. And here's what we'll do today. We're going to have the people that have a birthday from January through June. Okay, those people will go first. People with birthdays from January to June. All of you are going to say it together. And then we'll hit the rest of the months after that. Okay? So January through June, birthdays first. Are you ready? Here we go. Lamentations 3, 21 through 23. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Lamentations 3, 21 through 23. Okay, good job. Now we'll have the second half of the year, July through December. If your birthday is in July through December, figure that out. Think about when your birthday is. Is it in July through the end of the year? December. Okay, you guys and gals, let's all say that together. Okay, ready? Here we go. Lamentations 3, 21 through 23. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Lamentations 3, 21 through 23. Okay, very good. Hope that you'll be able to get that in your mind. So.
Let's turn in our insert to hymn number 209, Grace Greater Than Our Sin, and let's stand as we sing.
Grace, grace, God's grace.
I invite you to take your Bible now for our scripture reading and turn to John chapter 6. The passage is also printed on the back of the bulletin this morning, but John chapter 6, and we'll read verses 28 through 35 for our scripture reading. And I should have had you stay standing, I guess. Let's stand as we read responsively. John chapter 6, verses 28 through 35. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God?
Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent.
They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work?
Our fathers did eat manna.
Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven.
For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world.
Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread.
And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger.
May the Lord bless the reading of his word this morning. You may be seated. Let's bow our heads together as we look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege of coming together as your people today to worship you. We thank you for all that you have provided for us, for the safety, the protection in recent days. We thank you for the food that you have given us here to feed our souls. We thank you for the bread of life, Jesus Christ. We thank you that we have eternal life through receiving him. We come to you today to worship you. We come to ask you for the help and the grace that we need. You know the issues and the problems that are represented here in this assembly. And we ask you again for the help and the grace that you would provide us. We pray, Father, for those who cannot come out yet to be with us here and worship together. We pray that you would protect them, minister to their souls, we pray. We pray for those who are struggling with various diseases and physical problems. We pray that you would uphold them and strengthen them. And Father, we pray that you would meet the needs of our hearts today. We pray that your Holy Spirit would be working in our lives, the lives of this congregation. And we pray that you would use your word even this morning. We pray that you would give us understanding, help us to truly believe it and to trust you through it. We ask you for that today. We pray that you would sustain the needs of this ministry. We thank you for Morrow Bible Church. We pray that you would help us to minister as a body. We pray that each one of us would see the important part that we have here, the important area that we have using our gifts to serve you and to serve others. We pray for the leadership of this body. We think of our elders, and we thank you for them. We pray that you would give wisdom to them, guide them as they lead and minister here among us. Father, we come today to worship you. We pray that our hearts would be humble before you as we seek your face. And we come also today to honor you with our gifts. We pray that you would be glorified as we give to you. We pray that you'd help us to remember that all that we have in this life is a gift from you. And we give you back today a portion of what you've given to us. We pray that you would be honored as we give today. Father, we think of our missionaries and we pray for them especially. We know that they have been affected in different ways by the coronavirus all around the world. And we pray that you would continue to use them and open doors for their ministries. We pray that the gospel would go forth from them. Father, we pray for the gospel to spread here in our own community. We pray that you would make us to be lights We pray that you give us open doors of witness, help us to be bold in speaking for you. And we pray that the word of God would spread, the gospel would go forth. Father, our hearts are burdened today for our country, even as we see the unrest all across many of the cities in recent days. We just lift up our country to you. Father, we pray especially for our government, and we pray that they would see their responsibility before you to be the punisher of the evildoer. Whatever color they may be, we pray that that our government would see their important responsibility that they have, even at this time. And we pray for our president. We ask that you would give him your special wisdom. We pray for those that advise him. We pray that he would have right information upon which to make decisions. We pray for our authorities on the state level as well. We pray that you give them wisdom, especially in the midst of the coronavirus, help them to know what is the right and reasonable thing to do. We pray for our local officials as well. We ask that you would fill them with your wisdom and help them in the decisions that they make. We pray, Father, that you would grant a peace in our land. We know that is a gift from you, and we pray that there would be order that would be maintained. We ask that you would provide that. Father, we recognize that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We know that the devil has his agenda for this country, and we have no doubt that his influence is great, even at this present time. So, Father, we pray that you would help us to put our confidence in you, not in what man can do for us, but we pray that your word would go forth and that there would be an even greater attention, even in these coming days, turned towards you. We pray that hearts would be softened and that there would be a reviving, a turning again to you in this country. How much we need that. And so today we ask you for that. We thank you again for the privilege of gathering here this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This time we'll have a special number from Ron and Becky Margraff.
Why should we care?
Invite you to take your Bible now and turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. We have been back in our series here in John's Gospel, and we have seen here in chapter 6 that Jesus began with the feeding of the 5,000, and then last week we saw how he sent the disciples into the storm right after that. He got them away from that crowd, and that was part of their discipleship, their training, their preparation. They were not yet where they needed to be. And then the crowd had followed Jesus and found him across on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And they came to Jesus and wondered how he had got there. And Jesus began to deal with them and prepare them to receive the bread of life. John chapter 6, most of it is known as the bread of life discourse. Jesus identifies himself here as the bread of life. And this is a very long chapter, 71 verses. And Jesus, throughout most of that chapter, is teaching the crowd. He's teaching people what that means, that he is the bread of life. And as we continue on here, we see that that teaching begins with a dialogue. We see in this passage this morning three interactions that the crowd has with Jesus. They show their confusion about Jesus as they talk to him and dialogue with him. Perhaps we could compare it to the press conferences that we've all seen in recent days. And at the beginning of the pandemic, I was watching those, the presidential press conferences he was doing, and then after a while, I stopped watching those and just get the headlines later on. But those reporters, they can really ask some questions, and you can really see where they're coming from as they ask those questions. But here's this crowd. They're standing before Jesus, and they're asking him questions. And they show how much they don't really understand about who Jesus is as they dialogue with him back and forth. And yet Jesus answers them and teaches them about what it means that he is the bread of life. People today are still confused about that. People today are just like those in the crowd before Jesus who don't really comprehend, they don't really understand who Jesus is and what it means that he is the bread of life. But this first question that they ask him shows their confusion about working for the bread of life. Notice what they say in verse 28. Then they said unto him, that is the crowd that's standing before him, this is after feeding of the 5,000 the next day. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus had just instructed them, the verse before, that they should labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. And so the crowd hears him talk about laboring, talk about working, and they pick up on that and say, what should we do that we might work the works of God? They're interested in these works that they should do. They don't seem to understand the part of verse 27 where it says, the Son of Man shall give unto you everlasting life. They pick up on labor not for the things that perish. The works of God here that they're asking about are probably godly works or works that God would require them to do. They want to know, give us a list, Jesus, of what God wants us to do. What are the works that God requires us to do? You know, even today, that's a desire that men have. They want to know, what can I do? What are things that God wants me to do? And what can I do to obey those things? Men want to follow a list of rules for salvation. Why? So they can reach around and pat themselves on the back and say, what a good job I've done. I've done this, and God will certainly be pleased once he sees that I've done these things. So they turn to religions that show them what they can do to earn merit before God. But notice Jesus' answer about works. Jesus, verse 29, answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. The crowd wants a list of works. They want to know what many works God wants them to do. Well, Jesus turns that around and he narrows it down to one thing. There is the work. This is the work of God. Only one. And this is a different kind of work than what we find in Paul's epistles and his discussion about faith and works. But Jesus is focusing on the one issue that they need to focus on, this one priority that they need to have. Not a list of works, but what is that one issue that they need to focus on? Verse 29, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. That's the issue, believing. Reality is that believing is very opposite of a list of works. It is trusting, relying, having confidence in him whom he hath sent, Jesus Christ. That's the central issue. The one thing is believing. It's not coming to church and listening to somebody explain the Bible. That wasn't the one thing that Jesus said for them to focus on. You know, perhaps in coming days, the way things look in our country, could it even be that we would be forbidden to come to church? What would we do then? Well, yeah, that's another discussion, right? But here's what we could still do. Here's what people could still do, even if they said we could not come and gather together. They could believe on him whom he hath sent. They could still do that. Belief is a matter of the heart, trusting and having confidence in Jesus Christ. It's not taking the Lord's Supper. It's not coming and receiving the cup and the bread. It's not having a priest come and give to you last rites or whatever other forms of grace he claims he can dispense. That wasn't what Jesus said. He narrowed it down to one thing, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. We notice here that that believing is a continual believing. It's a present tense believing here. It emphasizes that continuing attitude, not just a one-time decision. Belief in Jesus Christ certainly has a starting point. There may be some here today who need to take that first step of belief in their hearts today. But that needs to continue. Real faith does not end. It does not stop. It continues throughout life. You know, there may be some that are confused about faith today, even their own faith. And you know, sometimes we can think back to earlier years and years in our childhood, and it gets a little bit hard to remember, doesn't it? I can't quite think exactly what happened there in my childhood. The issue here that Jesus reminds this crowd about is your faith. Right now? Is your faith right now on him whom he hath sent? And believing requires a focus on the right object. It's not enough just to have faith and faith, but Jesus says, believe on him whom he hath sent. To be sent is to be given a mission, a job to do. And that's what God has done with Jesus. He sent him on a mission. God sent Jesus on a mission to this earth to die on the cross for your sin. You know, imagine that you receive the newspaper and you have a paper boy, maybe a paper man or girl even. And what's their job? Their job is to come and deliver you the newspaper every day and to drop it in your driveway or on your porch. But let's suppose that you decide that you don't want to deal with the newspaper boy anymore. And you decide you're going to get in your car and go down to that newspaper office and get your own paper your own way. What would you be doing? Well, you'd be totally ignoring the person that the newspaper office has sent. They sent that paper boy to your house to deliver the paper. and you are ignoring him by going down to the newspaper office thinking you can get your own newspaper yourself. But that's what people do when they ignore the one that God has sent, Jesus Christ. God has sent Christ into the world for you to receive him, that you might have life. And the focus needs to be on the right object, Jesus Christ, that God has sent. Only Jesus has that position of being sent by the Father. There's a great many good works in the world today that people can do, many good causes that you can support. There are even good works the Bible points us to do. You know, those are all worthless in the sight of God unless they flow out of the one required work here, as Jesus calls it. Faith, believing in the one that he hath sent. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. The good works that people can do in this life are merely the fruit of that one thing. They're merely the expression of faith, true faith in Jesus Christ. They're not the reason for that faith. It's just the opposite. Faith is the reason for those works. And the one issue that people need to settle before the good works is faith, belief on him whom he hath sent. You know, there's people have a lot of problems today, in case you didn't know that. People have problems with their marriage. People have problems with their relationships and their children and their reactions, their anger, their lust, their addictions, and all those things are very serious. But suppose there are people in that crowd that were talking to Jesus that were just like that. What would Jesus have to say, first of all, to people like that about their problems? What would he say the first thing for them to do is? I believe he would say what he said to that crowd. The one priority that needs to be dealt with first is believing on him whom he hath sent. That's the main issue. It's not just a first step to fixing all the problems. It is the one step that will bleed over into every other area of life. So they have confusion here about working for the bread of life. And then we see a second area of confusion as they respond to him. J.C. Ryle said this, "Nothing so thoroughly reveals the hearts of men as a summons to believe on Christ." That's what Jesus had just done to this crowd. He summoned them to believe on Christ. Nothing so reveals the hearts of men as to summon them to believe on Christ. And what do they do? Verse 30, "Then said they therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work?" Their next question is a logical one for them. If they are to accept what he says, then who really is Jesus? They want to know his credentials. If they are to believe on him, they need more information. And we see the second area of confusion really is a confusion about authority. Confusion about authority for the bread of life. They want a sign that Jesus would show to them. What sign showest thou then? Essentially what they're saying is, okay, prove it. Prove that you are the one that we are to believe. Give us a sign. Where's your credentials? I think we have a good illustration here of what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:22, "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom." And so that's what they're doing. They're asking for a sign. Now, I'm going to ask you a question here. Does anything seem odd to you about that request? Anything seem odd to you that they would ask Jesus for a sign, a special miracle? Does anything seem odd about that? He just gave them a sign, right? These were the same people the day before who had been on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus had fed them, not just a little snack. It was a full meal. There was leftovers. They were fed to the full. They had already witnessed a sign. They had already seen perhaps other signs. And what they claim is that we may see and believe thee. What sign showest thou that we may see and believe thee? You know, we have a saying that says, seeing is believing. Have you ever heard that? Seeing is believing. You know, that's not always true. It wasn't true for this crowd. They saw, and yet they did not believe. They saw some of the signs. They were not willing to believe. I think these people had more signs and evidences than any other people in history. Jesus Christ walked among them. They had evidence. But the real reason they would not believe was not a lack of evidence. What was it? I believe it was their stubborn will. Their stubborn will. And that's true today as well. You know, the unbeliever has plenty of evidence. There's plenty of evidence even till today. Yet oftentimes, the real reason why people don't believe is their stubbornness, their stubborn will. The search for authority is sometimes influenced by a stubborn will. I think that's one of the realities of people of all ages. We have a stubborn will. We can be very stubborn, all of us. And here's Jesus, and the greatest person to ever walk the face of this earth, the greatest teacher there ever was on this earth. And yet the people that heard him refused to accept him. They were stubborn. And yet Jesus still taught them. Next, we see them refer back to something in their history here. In verse 31, they say, "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread to eat." They go back to something in their history here, and the feeding of the Israelites there in the wilderness. You remember that? The Israelites were there in the wilderness for nearly 40 years, and every day they woke up and they went out, and there was a little manna on the ground everywhere. And they went around and collected it except for the Sabbath day. And God did that for 40 years. And they bring that up. I'll ask you another question here. Why do they bring that up? Why do the people bring up the feeding of the Israelites in the wilderness, the manna? Why do they raise that point now? Well, I think it's because they don't really think that what Jesus did was all that great. They want to see something that's like what happened way back in the wilderness. Come on, Jesus, show us something like that. That was even better. What you did isn't really that good. They even quote scripture here. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Psalm 78, quotation there. What was going on here? Well, I think it goes back to what is involved in this question about authority. Sometimes we see that it's influenced by a stubborn will, for one thing, but also it's influenced by an exaggeration, an over-exaggeration of people's attitudes towards other things. One of them can be things that happened in the past. You know, for them, that time in the wilderness, that was the good old days. That was when God was doing really great things back there in the wilderness. And Jesus, come on, you show us something like that. That's when it was really good. You know, for others today, it may be an exaggeration of perhaps something in the past, or perhaps an organization that a person is familiar with, and wow, nothing can compare to that religion, to that church, or nothing can compare to that teacher, or this tradition, this way of doing things. And people today can be just like that, and exaggerating the influence of something like that that they're familiar with, and it's so overblown and exaggerated in their minds that they miss Christ. They miss the bread of life right before them. You know, if you hold up those things in such an exaggerated way, you may not accept what Jesus says because you feel like it doesn't compare to who Jesus is. Then we see Jesus answering this question about authority. He doesn't reply by asserting his authority or by showing some greater miracle according to their demands. What does he do? Well, he talks about the bread, the true bread. When they recognize what that bread is, they will stop their demanding. Verse 32, Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven." He's talking about the true bread. He points out in their minds that that manna didn't come from Moses. Maybe he knew that some of them were really having an exaggerated and overblown view of Moses. So he's got to correct them. That bread didn't come from Moses. But even much more greater than that manna is the true bread which is from the Father in heaven. There's no greater authority than that. This bread comes from the Father, God the Father in heaven. And it's bread that comes down from heaven, verse 33. "For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven." No one and nothing else has done that. Come down from heaven. Did you watch the launch of the SpaceX rocket yesterday? They got that launched finally. I didn't realize it had been so long since our country has sent up people into space, but it has. Almost 10 years. But, you know, I was reading about that. And the president of that private company that's launching that said that one of his major concerns about that mission is the re-entry back into the Earth's atmosphere. You know, the speed at which that vessel comes and all the you know, the gravitational pull that's coming through there, that was his biggest concern, actually re-entering the Earth's atmosphere. You know, space is not heaven where God lives. God created all that. We just live on a tiny little dot in the middle of space that God created. And God sent Jesus down to our little planet, that little tiny ball, from heaven, where God's throne is. And he successfully sent him on that mission. To come into this world. To do what? Verse 33. "And giveth life unto the world." It's bread that gives life to the world. You know, bread is a staple of life. We had bread for breakfast this morning. Cinnamon raisin toast. And maybe you had some bread. You know, bread for lunch. Maybe you'll have some bread for dinner. But bread gives us nourishment. It gives us energy that we need. But this bread, the bread from heaven, gives us something much greater than that. It gives life, spiritual life, eternal life, much more than strength and nourishment to the body, is the bread of God that gives eternal life to the world. Not just for Israel. You know, Jesus is there talking to this crowd of Jews, and he really makes a shocking statement to them. You know, that manna was just for one nation, the Israelites. God's people gave them manna every day. But the bread of God is for all people. It's for the world. God offers that bread, that spiritual satisfaction to every person. Not all of them will receive it. But he offers that to the world. Have you heard about the husband that was in his baby room one night? Husband and a wife were both there together, and they were looking at their little newborn baby who was asleep in their crib, and they're just staring down at the baby. And the husband had a strange look on his face, and sort of a look of admiration and emotion. And the wife says to her husband, "Honey, what are you thinking right now?" And the husband says, "I can't believe that we got that crib for $46.95. You know, we can easily be blind to the most important thing. That's what the crowd was. They were blind to what was really important standing right before them, Jesus Christ, the bread of life. They were blind to see who he really was. Their stubborn wills were influencing that. Jesus tried to correct them here a third time as we see their response in verse 34. "Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread." So we see a desire for this bread. Evermore means always, all the time. You know, it may be that the crowd is still kind of in a level of uncertainty about what Jesus is talking about. And they perhaps are a little bit like the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4 that we saw when Jesus was talking about the water of life. He was there at the well, and he was talking about something he had to offer her that would quench her thirst. And she says, "Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." You know, the woman didn't quite understand what Jesus was talking about. If he has an endless supply of water, that'd be great. Sure, I'll take it. And it may be that the crowd, as they are beginning to understand this concept of bread, that perhaps they are still thinking, well, maybe this man really can give us a lifetime supply of bread. Lord, give us bread all the time. That'd be great. That'd be wonderful if you would do that. Perhaps there was sort of a vague understanding, a change that was taking place here. But Jesus answers this third area of confusion about the nature of the bread of life. He answers confusion about working for the bread of life, about the authority for the bread. And now he reveals the nature of this bread. He reveals himself as the bread of life. Verse 35, "Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life." He himself is the spiritual bread. The person of Jesus Christ is the bread of life. He doesn't say, "I am bread of life." He says, "I am the bread of life." In other words, he's the only one. There is no other. He is the one and only bread of life, the only source of their spiritual satisfaction. And he has life. He has life in himself. He's able to give that life to others who receive him, to those who take him. And then he talks about the person who receives the bread of life. What is that person like? What is the person who receives Jesus? What do they do? How are they described? Verse 35. This way, "He that cometh to me." He that cometh to me. The person who receives the bread of life is a person who comes to Jesus. You know, to come involves a movement. You came to church this morning. You moved from your house to this church in your car. You came. And there's also a kind of movement in receiving Jesus Christ. There is a movement away from self, away from trusting in self. A movement away from being okay with sin. There's a movement to Christ, a spiritual movement. That's the person that receives Christ. It's the one who comes to Jesus. And that's also described here as "he that believeth on me." To come is to believe. To believe is to come to Jesus. The person who receives the bread of life, believes on Jesus. He accepts who Jesus is, and he places trust in him personally. And then Jesus talks about the benefit that's provided through the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. You know, there's some foods that you can eat that don't really fill you up. Does popcorn really fill you up? You know, snacks and chips and stuff like that. There's some foods that don't really satisfy you. Some foods that do. And Jesus compares himself to a kind of food, a bread, that really fills you up. It really satisfies you. There's a spiritual satisfaction here that will cause you not to hunger again spiritually. It doesn't mean that we no longer need to continually depend on Jesus Christ in our lives, but it does mean that that satisfaction removes the emptiness that the sinner has. That can be satisfied only in Jesus Christ. You know, it may be that you are here today and you are just like one of those people in the crowd. They're confused. You're not sure what Jesus offers. I hope you'll realize today that he offers you life. And he offers you that as a gift, not something that you can follow a list of rules to be able to earn. But that life can be given to you, eternal life, as a gift if you'll receive it. Will you receive Jesus Christ? If you've never received Jesus Christ, will you receive Jesus Christ? Here in the scripture, Jesus invites you again. He invites you to believe on him whom he hath sent. He offers that to you today, to come to him and to believe on him. You know, it may be that you're still confused about this. You say, Pastor, I don't quite understand still. I need to know more. I want to know more. And if that's you today, I want to encourage you to perhaps come and talk to me, and I'd be glad to try to help you understand how you can have life through Jesus Christ. And perhaps there's some here today that you would say, I believe that, and I have believed that, and I think perhaps recently I've believed that. I want to challenge you today to let somebody else know that you believe in Jesus Christ. Maybe you could let me know. Maybe you could let our church know. Hey, this is something I've recently discovered, and I've found this, and I've accepted Jesus Christ. Let somebody know. Let your parents know about that. We want to be able to rejoice with you that you are truly a believer in Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads together as we pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the provision of the bread of life. We thank you that we have eternal satisfaction through what we receive in Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, for those here today, perhaps who would still be confused about who Jesus is, what God really wants them to do. I pray that you would, by your Holy Spirit, show them what they need to do to believe on Jesus Christ. And we pray that you'd bring each one here to a genuine faith, not in anything that they've done, but only in the work of Jesus Christ for them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to stand now as we close our service with the singing of the doxology. If you need the words, they're on the back of your song insert. Let's stand now, and we'll sing Praise God, from whom all blessings flow.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, Lord, He's your Savior.
unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.